Are you struggling with the idea of learning to hear from Jesus? Did you know that God wants to talk with you? Don't worry, it's not the way you may be thinking. Recently, I made the decision to write some articles related to the topic of learning how to hear from the Lord. And I didn't want to just do it out of my experience. So I did some research and came across an interesting book that I think you will enjoy. And yes, I had to thank Audible because that's how I found the book. The book was written by a fellow named Peter Greig, Greig. Don't ask me. He wrote a book that's appropriately titled, and you will love this, How to Hear from God, How to Hear God for Normal People. In other words, those of us who are not theologians, who are not Bible scholars, pastors, or, the YouTuber who hears, so beautiful. No, it's for you, the average person, just want to learn. And you're not looking for, signs and wonders or any of that stuff. I'm going to be referencing Peter's book throughout this podcast and a couple other videos, podcasts that I will be doing. But today, the topic is centers on relationship. Yeah. I know. There are some people who are like, if we do not have a healthy, good relationship with Jesus, then our Bible knowledge isn't going to amount to a hill of beans. I'll give you a great example. In John, Jesus is confronting the Pharisees, and he told these very students of the Bible, or students of the Torah and the prophets, and told them, hey, you guys have been studying the scriptures, seeking eternal life, and you guys are totally missing it, because those scriptures testify about me, Jesus. The scriptures were pointing to Christ. They were pointing to the one who would come and redeem them. They were pointing to a healthy, loving relationship with a Father, a love that would lead to obedience to what God's saying. And these were the religious crowd who, today, we would say, these are the theologians who would know the scriptures inside and out, and they were totally missing it. And just to be fair, the religious crowd is not just the sole proprietor of conservatives. It's also on the quote-unquote liberal side, too. They can be just as bad. I'm just more familiar with the other side. Correct. Let's not do that. Let's develop a relationship with Christ. In fact, I'll mention in the blog post, Jesus speaking to John, who wrote the book of Revelation, and in the second chapter, he said to the church in Ephesus, return to your first love. You see, nothing wrong with doing good work, okay? That's fine. But it's not supposed to be a substitute for having a relationship with Christ, Jesus. It's not a substitute for the loving relationship we have with God the Father through His Son. We need to have a balance between those two. That's important. Yes, sir. Jesus didn't tell him to stop. He told him, no, I want you to continue, but hey, hello, how about the vertical relationship here? And it's more than just studying the scriptures, spending time with him, spending time in the word, spending time in worship, and prayer, intimacy, quiet time, all those wonderful things. That's the one that I came across. But that's not the only thing. Peter brought up an interesting point that I didn't even think of. You know, there are two essential roadblocks that we can run into in developing that relationship. And this plays very much into the reading of scriptures. It's called psychology. That's how we process the information that we see, hear, and think, breathe, all that. It's also tied to our emotion and preconceived biases. That's actually important because it will. If I had a relationship with someone and they were always critical and they somehow were an image of God in some ways, guess what? I'm told that, oh, well, because your mother was critical and you had a problem with her, you're probably going to have a problem with the Holy Spirit, which I actually had to put a stop. It wasn't that it was false teaching. I had to put a stop because I did not want to do that to the Holy Spirit. I did not want to, yike. I knew well enough there was a problem here, and it wasn't that. And I will get into that part in a little bit. That's the psychology. The theology had to do with, not so much, it had a lot to do with how we think God, how we think of him, how we see him based on what we know. I've known some people who had a view of God the Father as in angry, and I had that view, or not somebody who would be merciful and gracious and kind, even if we screw up. Well, I had a different view, and that view went into conflict with some of these other people I met. Oh boy. That's why when I read of the death of Moses, I understood Moses couldn't go into the promised land physically. However, I thought God at being merciful and finding some other ways so Moses could behold the promised land. And he did. He gave him the supernatural eyesight that was needed to see this great land. Plus, I have a feeling that based on my reading of Hebrew in 11, I think it is, that he beheld something even greater than what the children of Israel would encounter. And I have a friend who felt that the Lord told her, yeah, and Moses did enter the promised land, but not actual Israel into the heavens, to be with Jesus because of his relationship with the Father. That was my view. This other person I knew, it was like, oh my God, because of this, I better make sure I go straight or I'm gonna miss out. That was her, because she had a view of anger and judgment. And that will influence how we read the scripture. It influences how we hear certain sermons. That's why some people get very upset if I suggest, hey, I got a great idea. Put a photo of a smiling Jesus. Those groups will freak out. I think some of the more evangelical types who focuses on holiness and that, they would get it. but they would say have a somewhat different view. The ones who would freak out is because, like, oh, it's all because they have an angry view. With some of the evangelicals I know, they have no problem with the idea of smiling Jesus. The problem is in, like, what's he smiling at? At the son and daughter who had the right relationship and want to be in, who's smiling to encourage you to walk right and is not worrying about your screw up. Okay, but please don't think he's smiling and when we engage in sin and engaging in behavior that's not right. He's going to be concerned. But he's probably not ready to hurl a few lightning bolts up rear, okay? I think they do have enough sense for that. Oh, this is what happens when you have a diverse background. And yes, I am charismatic. Continuation gift continues. Egalitarian. I'll have to find out what the heck that means. What I'm getting at is, and I'll repeat it, a relationship shape with Jesus shapes how we hear the word and how we hear his voice when he's speaking to us. If we have a relationship that's based on the idea of an angry Jesus, we're probably not going to recognize that we're talking to a Lord who desires to show his mercy and compassion, who is actually trying to help. We're thinking like, oh my God. Yeah. And yes, I do like to focus on the love and mercy aspect. That has kind of been my hallmark. And yes, I am well aware that we need to have a healthy, balanced view. Because I've seen the extremes on both ends. And that is not good. If we as human beings are not one-dimensional in our view, in our personality, it makes sense that we have a Father in heaven who is not one-dimensional. And it is good. I did a little bit of research in the Old Testament, just so you know. I found a scripture. Since I'm doing the video a little later, I'll post the scripture there, or you can read it in the blog post. The Lord speaking to Ezekiel, he says that he would much rather that the children of Israel, especially the wicked, would turn from their sin, turn from their way, and live. He's not interested in slaughterhouse, okay? He's interested in our redemption. That's why Jesus came. Not like, he came because he wanted to. But the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn it. He didn't come into the world to beat the crap out of you and me and all the other sinners on the planet. He didn't come into the world to beat the crap out of us. Okay, I'm going to keep repeating with all that colorful idiom because sometimes I think some of us need to hear that. He didn't come into the world to beat us over the head with a 2x4 over us. No, he came to save us from the consequences of our sinful ways. He came to rescue us from the price that we would have had to pay if he didn't do that. And those who put their hope and trust in him will not be judged. Yes, he does still want us to repent and change. But when you're not a slave to sin, because that's kind of what he did. He broke off the yoke of sin, slavery to sin, so that we may repent. I'm going to have to pick up on that scripture in another video, because that's a whole lot to unpack in Romans 6 and 7. 5, 6, and 7. Oh boy, I'm getting some good ideas. And I do hope you'll come back more as I keep finding some of these great scriptural ideas to cover here. That's the whole idea of Christianity Explained. It's not just to share the good news about what Christians, YouTubers, and bloggers can do. It's putting to practice the thing that I think we can do and to be a possible model and to encourage. Because I do know that not all of us can sit in a church and hear. All right, I'm going to put a stop now. My goal was to talk about the developing a healthy relationship. And I want to encourage you to seek the Lord. Talk with Jesus about what you're hearing. Talk with him. Actually, a great starting point. And that's really how we should be doing this when we listen to stuff like this. And yes, I'm sure there are questions. Great! I'm glad to hear that. Talk to Jesus. Talk to him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So, be not afraid to talk with him about the question that comes up, whether it's here or any other video. All right. I want to thank you for your time. Hope you have a blessed day. See you when I see ya.